John chapter 6. Well, I'm very thankful to be here this morning and very, very glad that when the gospel's preached, it's not a strange sound to me. But I can hear and understand and see and believe.
Amen.
What a rare and wonderful blessing that is. But I'd like to look at John 6:37 this morning. We have several things in this verse. John 6:37. Our Lord says here, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's meeting the gospel headlong. Well, he says in the first part there, he says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me." Well, to giveth or giveth means to continually give. Now, before this world was made, well, let me come forward a little bit in time. Let's say before the old creation, before the creation of the earth, moon, and stars, all the planets, all the heavenly hosts and everything. Before all that, God out of his own fullness chose a people. But in the creation of the heavens and the earth, we call that the old creation, because there's a new creation going on now. But in the old creation, God out of his own fullness called forth everything that is. Mm-hmm. There was no earth. There was not a grain of sand. There wasn't a mass of dust and gases floating around out there in the universe. It all pulled together somehow and made a big rock, which exploded, and then the earth was born. No, I don't think that's the way it happened. God, by his power, by his infinite power, created the heavens and the earth by that infinite power. And you talk about mind over matter. That is the primary example of it right there. God, in his essential glory and infinity of his power, wisdom, and might, created everything out of nothing. So he assembled the material of the old creation. Look at Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, God, out of his own fullness and power, wisdom, and might, created the materials for the old creation out of nothing, and the Holy Spirit, for his part, cherished it. And he shaped it into whatever he would have it to be, into all different planets with their characteristics, and all of the plants and animals and living animate and inanimate objects and all those things. And so the creation stood in the power of God, and it came from the fullness of God. Well, in the new creation, which we are the new Jerusalem, we are the heavenly Jerusalem, we are the city of God, we are the people of God, and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because we are and always have been the people of God. But before God made the old creation, he prepared the material for the new creation in the decree of election. He sanctified a people from among all of the inhabitants of the earth, from first to last, that he would gather into one in Christ Jesus. And he declared them to be his people, and he gave them to his son as his bride, as his children, as his own. And the Lord Jesus Christ, for his part, he received them from the Father. And in the new creation, the Holy Spirit works in each of those that are of the new creation in order to bring them into, cause them to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all that the Father giveth to the Son, he giveth to them in time, because they were prepared and given in eternity past. They were already given to the Son. But he giveth them as they appeared in time, continually, as the old creation rolls on her way. The Holy Spirit is continually calling that material, if you will, that God prepared before the foundation of the world into union with, into a living and union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they've been in covenant union with from eternity past, but they're called into a vital union with him through faith. Now, all wisdom, power, grace, mercy, and glory is laid up in the Lord Jesus Christ to be distributed to those people as they are brought forth in time. And of his fullness, of the fullness of grace, of the fullness of his, of all the gifts of the Spirit, all spiritual blessedness is laid up in the Lord Jesus Christ for that people. And as they're brought forth in time, he freely gives that to them. And he gives them of his Spirit. He puts his own Spirit in them, and out of his fullness, everything that the Father The Father is the fountain of the Trinity. And everything that the Father laid up in the Son for the church, the Son gives freely to His people as they appear in time. And it begins as we experience by the gift of the Spirit, and we find that we believe. And we repent of what we used to believe. And what we used to think. And we think with a new mind. That's no longer at enmity with God. Now the old man's still there. His hateful thoughts are still there. His lustful thoughts are still there. He's still the blackguard he ever was. But there's a new man. And it's a new nature. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks on it and sees a likeness of Himself. So He says, all the Father giveth me will come to me. Look at the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2. Now, since that the members of that body of the church have always been given to Christ. They say, as they are given the Spirit of God, and as they are taught of God, and as they are made to know who they are and what their privileges are, they say, look at verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Look at chapter 6. Verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. And then look at chapter 7. It's stated here again. Only here it says, I am my beloved, and he is mine. His desire is unto me. And so it is with the Lord and his church. Amen. So, now there is stated in that verse the absolute, infallible sovereignty of God. All the Father giveth me will come to me. Yeah. Now they're just, that's going to happen. And that's cut and dried. There's no doubt about it. There's no ifs, ands about it or any extenuations or anything else. All the Father hath given to the Son in eternity past, there are going to come to the Son. Amen. Half of the body of Christ is not going to be missing. No part of the body of Christ is going to be missing. They're all going to come to the Savior. God is going to gather together in one all the children of God throughout all the ages, throughout all the races, throughout all of the world, everyone that He has chosen in eternity past and given to His Son. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. They were given in eternity past. They're going to be gathered together in one. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me, look at this, out of the world, from among the world. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. Now look back at verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they also be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God chose them, set his love on them, gave them to his Son, sent him into the world to pay their sin debt and to give them of his fullness. Look at Psalm 139. Well, no. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23. And we'll read from verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven.
Already
there. Well, it says they are written, so time is irrelevant. Word before the cross or after the cross, they are written. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise, I'll wait on you just a bit. Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who is that? That's that group that he chose before he made anything. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. What book? The Lamb Book of Life. Which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none. They didn't exist. When their names were enrolled in the Lamb, and people talk about, well, come get your Lamb, get your name enrolled in the Lamb Book of Life. Everybody's name is already there. It's ever going to be there. There ain't no new names being written. And none being taken out. All right, let's go back to John 6:37 now. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, here's the fact. All the Father giveth me is going to come to me. No doubt about that. That's just the way it is. And the last half of the verse is just as true as the first. And the promise that is there is just as infallible as the first. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, sinner, will you come? There it is. You've met the gospel, and you've met the general call. You've seen the efficacious call, or the holy call. All that the Father giveth me, they're going to come. But here's the general call. All that cometh unto me, I will, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, that sinner that first of all knows he's a sinner and knows who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Son of God. Well, like Paul told the old Ethiopian eunuch, he preached to him the gospel, and that fellow believed. And he said, well, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Paul said, well, if you believe, if thou believest, thou mayest. Now look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22:17. Well, now, why should I come? Well, because of the promise that is in the general call. There's a promise there. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you can come with your eyes wide open, understanding what you're doing in sincerity, then you've got a promise. He that cometh to me, knowing who I am, knowing who you are, knowing what to expect, I won't cast you out, he said. Look at verse 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's what we're doing right now. We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say to any sinner who hears by means of a CD tape or however, come. Are you willing? That's what the testimony of the church is. That's what the Lord has put in our mouth. Whosoever will. You willing? Come on. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm holy enough. Well, guess what? You're not. And none of God's children in themselves are. And that's not what we depend on. We depend on the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not righteous enough. No, you're not. That's true. But He is, and you know, when you come to Him, you're no longer in yourself. When you come to Him, you put off self. Your righteousness, your holiness, your abilities, your works, anything that has to do with you whatsoever, you say, that's filthy. You throw it in the trash can. Say, I want nothing more to do with it. You depend solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come that way.
Amen.
He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Whosoever can hear this gospel,
yeah,
you can say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You thirsty? Do you desire to have a personal union with the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we know who He is and who we are, we will.
Yeah.
We're sinners and we deserve the lowest hell. But in Him we can be brought to the highest heaven.
Yeah.
And let him that is thirst come, and whosoever will. Now does that don't block out anybody.
No.
Don't block out anybody. Whosoever will. Black, white, yellow, green, orange, it doesn't matter. 5'3" or 7'10". Whether you're a Chinese or an American, you willing? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now there's another verse here I wanted to get. It seemed like it ought to be verse 9, but I don't know. Let's read verse 9 while we're here. No, that ain't it. Well, I don't know. That's pitiful. It's right there in chapter 22, but I'll not tarry there any longer. Let's go back to John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, how will we come? Come covered with sin. Come admitting that you're a sinner. That you have sinful thoughts, sinful motives, sinful actions, sinful words. Because that's who we are. We're sinners in thought, word, and deed. Come naked to be dressed with his robe of righteousness. Come absolutely empty. Don't bring anything with you. Brother Spurgeon told a story one time. He said this elderly, poverty-stricken woman of his congregation invited him to come and eat tea. That's what they call it in England, I guess. Come and eat tea. Well, he thought he'd help her out, and he brought some cookies. And so when they sat down to eat, he brought his cookies and he laid them down. And when she came, she brushed them off in the floor. She said, I said, come and eat tea. Don't come and bring tea. So Spurgeon said, well, thank you, Lord. You've taught me a lesson. Don't bring anything. Don't bring anything, because everything that we have to offer is polluted with sin. We have absolutely nothing to offer that is not absolutely ruined with sin.
Amen.
We have to receive everything that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ out of his fullness. Look at Colossians. Well, look at, let's stay in John. Look at chapter 1 of John. John chapter 1. And let's begin at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born, that is, they were born again, not of blood, not because of their family, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Any more preachers want to call works grace? They stand up and say, now you're saved by grace, but you got to do. And they'll start telling you a big long list of what all you got to do. Receive Christ. All of you that receive him. And how do you receive him? Well, he has to put his spirit in you. And the spirit within you causes you to believe. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I love this book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 27. Look here what our God says. Ezekiel 36, 27. And I will put my spirit within you. Now, I'm going to wait for you to make a decision. I'm going to wait for you to get your head right. Or for you to make peace with God. No. He said, I will put my spirit within you, and the result of that is, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Look at John 14. John 14, 17. Well, let's back up and begin reading at 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, by nature, we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we just don't. Because our mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But when he puts his spirit in us, it'll be to us a spirit of life and a spirit of faith. And he will cause us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. He'll cause us to love the Lord. I'll put my spirit within you, and he will cause you to keep my statutes. And one of them is to love the Lord. He'll cause you to do that. So our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's the Spirit. That's God. That's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Spirit of Christ in you. What a blessing that is, to give us of himself, to be joined to him in spirit, to have the same spirit in us that's in him. Even the spirit of truth. Now that's why we love the truth. We love the truth because the truth is in us. And that's the reason we can hear the truth, because the truth that's in us bears witness to the truth that we hear in the ear, and we know it. We know it's the truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Who's that? The children of God. They know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law. I do not seek to be justified by my works of law, keeping the law. As far as the law is concerned, I'm dead to the law. Because I know I can't keep it. Why? Because I'm a sinner with a sinful nature. And that law is holy and just and good, and I can't walk in it. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. When he was nailed up on that tree as my representative, and me in him, all the members of his body were in him, in the judgment of God when he was hanging there. We were all crucified with him. We all died in him and are dead to the law and therefore dead to sin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How? By his Holy Spirit. Because he's put his Spirit in us. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, 4. 2 Corinthians 13, 4. Oh, maybe I think I may have lost another verse here. Let me see. Well, anyway, it says the verse that I'm looking for says, and I think it's right there in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, believe, and therefore we speak." And the thing I'm getting at there, that it is a spirit of faith. He is to us a spirit of faith. He's a spirit of truth. He's a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by him that we believe and have a new nature. So there is the sovereignty of God. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. And there's the responsibility of man and the general call. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, I know that all believers want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ more all the time. We want to be conformed to his image and live in his will. All right, brother.